This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships at sea, let's go to press.
Here we go.
Here now with all of today's cruise and travel news and a bit of commentary, it's the guru of the seas himself, Tom Drake.
It is indeed himself on this Tuesday morning, April 9th. Come on, Tommy. April 9th, 2024. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. I am the podcaster, you the podcast ease, and that is the official mascot of this Tuesday morning train wreck, and it is a busy Tuesday morning. Programming note, although I don't think this affects much, back on the road tomorrow, Thursday's show. That's right, Thursday's show will be from Jacksonville Beach, Florida. We are on the road tomorrow. The wife has to go to sea school, S-E-A, sea school, for her refresher training. Every 5 years, all crew members are required to undergo STCW training. This time it's a one-day-only refresher course where the cruise director extraordinaire will be forced to dress up like a fireman with that breathing pack and go into a building and drag out a fake body and then wear an immersion suit and jump in a pool and overturn a lifeboat. Things that no way she would ever have to do in real life, but this is a requirement of the, I don't know, some maritime coffee-drinking pinhead, paperhead bureaucrats. Not required by the company, but required by a group they're signed up with. And it is interesting in that it does, my opinion, create what I call ageism. Ageism because it's some people that could keep working in the cruise industry decide, I'm too old to do this crap. I'm not doing this. And it doesn't make any sense either because, honestly, if you're on a ship and you see the cruise director with a fire hose, head for the chapel. Head for the chapel, children. Anyway, on the road, so I'll tell you what Jacksonville Beach is like this time of year when we get to it. Also, I had an email, several emails actually, asking me if I went to see the Alamo when I was in San Antonio. Yes, I did. And I have my own opinion on it. You know, I have fun with the Swedish people because the Swedish people in Stockholm, they have a museum called the Vasa. And it's a sailing ship that sunk, I don't know, 300 years ago. And it was down there for 250 years and they recovered it. And they built a museum around it. And I tell the Swedish people, I'm from Jersey. If we build a ship and it sinks in 10 minutes, we leave it the hell down there. I had the same thought about the Alamo. He got your ass kicked. Why are you bragging about it? You know, you got wiped out. Let's move on. But to the Texans, it was a rallying call. This is what turned it all around. You know, they lost one and they got aggravated. So there you go. But it was very, very well done. The museum and all the presentations and all of the collections. And so weird. One of the largest collectors of memorabilia from that time from the Alamo was Phil Collins. Phil Collins, the British singer and songwriter, he donated his collection to the Alamo Museum, but he fell in love with it growing up watching Davy Crockett and reading those stories and started collecting. He put all of his money early in his career into knives and stuff like that, so I don't know. They did a lot of drugs back then. Who knows? I did not partake of the solar eclipse. I hope you all enjoyed it wherever you are. I hope you wore the glasses. I didn't. It got a little dark here in Kissimmee, but we weren't in the pathway for totality. I had it on my TV yesterday while I was working in the office, and I tried to count how many times these people said totality. We are waiting for totality, and we will be in the dark for 4 minutes, and oh, it's going to be exciting. And they were screaming and like they were walking on hot coals. These professional reporters, it's totality. And we've all come together to sing Kumbaya. You know, do I have it available? Shut up, isn't here right now. No, I don't think so. Here's the sound. That's the sound of a polar bear. That's what I was doing, watching it on TV, going, are you serious? The entire news media world came to a stop yesterday to watch it get dark. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I haven't played this one.
This is how we do.
Yeah. You can reach me at thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. Thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. 6:19 on a Tuesday morning, and we're up and running. We're home. Energy level is very high. Tried to watch the Yankees last night. I subscribe to MLB.com. That allows me to watch any Yankee game whenever I want, wherever I want, unless I happen to be in Central Florida, because they're playing the Miami Marlins in New York. And for some reason, MLB.com blacks out the game in Orlando, even though Miami is 200 miles away. We are not in the market. So I'm on the phone last night with MLB.com screaming to this guy, you know what baseball is? Just a bunch of rich, greedy white guys screwing us. That's what they are. This guy wasn't sure what to do with me. In any case, I didn't get to watch the game today or tomorrow. Maybe when I go to Jacksonville on Wednesday, I can watch the game. Move on, Tom. Nobody cares about your problems. Nobody cares. Prayers for the military, men and women, whatever you call yourself. If you're Abro military, the Holy Hemorrhoids are at it again, but we nailed them. You know, I'm getting tired of this beret-wearing Holy Hemorrhoid always bragging about how many missiles they fired and they didn't hit anything. Well, the U.S. military said on Monday they destroyed more air defense and drone systems of Yemen's Iran-aligned Houthi forces. We knocked out some missiles, some ground control stations, one unmanned aerial system. We're getting them. And now there's stories floating around in media in the U.S. whether this is constitutional. Because although I might not be the biggest fan of the current president, I'm the biggest fan of what he's doing here. We got to get the Suez, the Red Sea, and the Gulf Aden open again. We're going to feel this a few months from now. Prices of everything are going to be worse than they are. And they're bad now with inflation and everything else going on. And look, you know, I have a new drop that I've added. It's very important. Some of these subjects lately are way over my head. So this is new.
Man's got to know his limitations.
A man's got to know his limitations. So a lot of this I don't comment on because, frankly, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. The other things I can offer a very experienced opinion upon. This one I know. We have to get the Suez, the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aden open again. And whether he has permission from a Republican senator or a Democratic congressman, I could care less. All right? Wipe these mothers out. That's what I say. Anyway, so that's a new narrative that they're pumping out there, you know. That's politics. We have to get it open. Business has to get back to normal. These guys are holy hemorrhoids. Let's get to it. Prayers for our bridge workers in Maryland. They are taking the containers off that freighter as we speak. It continues to be a danger. It will be extremely dangerous when they go to cut and lift all of that bridge off. And then I saw this the other day. Didn't have time to get to it. Been extremely busy lately. There was a freighter leaving New York City that lost its propulsion. Lost its propulsion right near the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Are you serious? Now, here's the difference. There were three tugs escorting the 89,000-ton APL Kingdawa. And it got close to the bridge, but there were three tugs to push it around. And it says that's standard. I wonder if three is standard. I wonder if they just said, you know what? You're getting one more there, King Quow, because we don't trust anybody. They lost propulsion, but it did not hit the bridge, obviously, and it couldn't anyway because that particular Verrazano Narrows has protective rock islands built around its posts. So you're not getting near the post. You're going to run aground on some rock islands. These, you know, New Yorkers. New Yorkers know what they're doing. You know what I'm talking about? They're going, look, you know, somebody whacks that thing. We're in a lot of trouble here. We need the bridge, right? So we get some rocks. We put some rocks around each one of those things. And bada boom, bada bing, nobody does nothing, right? Bang, boom. Maybe it runs aground. We take some pictures. Who knows, you know? I mean, this is New York. We land planes in the Hudson. We know what the hell we're doing. But in Maryland, no knock on Maryland. When they built that bridge, they built it on the cheap. Read up on it. They built it on the cheap. And back then, some pinhead paper hat politician said, hey, you know, I'm sure it was suggested to have some kind of safety barrier around that. What could happen? What could happen? Wash your hands. Wash your bottle. I don't have a norovirus story. I'm happy to report that. Just keep washing your hands and wash your bottle. You know what I'm saying? If it's your birthday, happy birthday. This was easy. There was nobody born on this day that had any effect on the music business except this guy.
It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything.
I want you up there dancing. Come on. Happy hour, Stephen Ellie.
Knock me down,
out on the patio.
In my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do.
The great Carl Perkins, and there has been many, many discussions about really the father of rock and roll, rockabilly, and whatever else you want to call it. And Carl Perkins was right there with that song. A lot of people copied that. We went on from there. So the great Carl Perkins, happy birthday. He's no longer with us. Nobody else born on this day that was worth even talking about. A follow-up on the Boeing saga. I'm not going to give any, play any music today, but Alaska Airlines, you know, those are the people who are flying that Boeing plane where the plug, otherwise known as the door, popped out. They received $160 million from Boeing just to quiet down a little bit because obviously it cost them a lot of money. Planes were taken out of service. All hell broke loose. Additional compensation is expected to be provided by quarter one next year, the complete terms of which are confidential. Not well, this came out in a regulatory filing. And, you know, Alaskan Airlines, they had a meeting and says, maybe we should pop a door off every other week. You know, this is a nice income. From Boeing until they go broke. We have a new segment here. I don't have a drop for it yet. But the segment is called Indulge Me. Indulge me, people. I do not want to get onto a soapbox very often, but indulge me with this comment that I will make about Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is the host of some show on ABC late night, and he's never been funny. He never will be funny. And he's incredibly opinionated. He's the opposite of Johnny Carson. No talent and a big mouth. In fact, he's me. Anyway, I saw this story. It seems that Mr. Kimmel went on vacation to Japan, and he was there in Japan for 7 days, and he was very impressed with Japan. And he proceeded to come back in what they call a monologue on ABC, what I call is what I do, a bunch of crap. Instead of being funny, he stood in his stood on stage and told everybody that the United States sucks, that he was shocked. He said, I've been to Europe before, and I'm used to potholes and dirty this and dirty that. And he said, and I've always thought the USA that we're chanting about it, or that we brag about is a wonderful place until he went to Japan. And I realize now the USA is a filthy and disgusting place. Those were his words. We were in Japan. No, I'm not arguing that point, by the way. I'm not arguing. I'm pointing out this guy is a complete moron. That's what I'm pointing out. I mean a complete
you're a moron!
Because he went to Japan, and it's absolutely spotless in Japan. And he couldn't believe it. The bathrooms everywhere, everything were cleaner than the operating rooms here in the United States. Everywhere you went, they don't smell bad. They have toilets that wash you from the inside out. He's a moron. You know where Jimmy Kimmel lives? Yeah, he lives in Los Angeles. First of all, there are plenty of clean places in the United States of America. You can find them all over the Midwest and the Northwest. You're just not going to find it in that rat hole they call Los Angeles. That's number one. Number two, he's in Japan. Japan has 2% immigration. 98% of the people in Japan were born there. They were born and they were taught how to clean a bathroom. They were taught how to cherish the land they live on. They were taught how to live correctly. We live in a country where the doors are open to people who want to turn our country into a third world country. That's not hyperbole. That's just the way it is. We're letting everybody in, and they want to turn our country into what their country was, the one they escaped from. He's a jackass. All right, let's move on. I got that out of the way. On a Tuesday morning, indulge me. Are you still here? Are you still here? How about some music?
One for the money.
Yeah.
Two for the show.
All right, here we go. NCL Holdings. They went shopping. Wow, did they go shopping? NCL Holdings has placed the largest new build order in its history. 8 new ships for the 3 brands, and they bought them all from Fincantieri. Hey, here we go. Hey, the motors, is she working? Not today, but tomorrow, huh? And maybe you can steer it later. Right now, she's not steering that good, huh? Hey! Cannolis for everybody. Anyway, Harry Summer, and we...
Oh, I'm just wild about
we love Harry.
Harry. And he's just wild about me.
He's the big boss at NCL. He announced that they're buying 8 new ships, including 2 for Oceania. 2 ships that will be heavily discussed. Be careful, Tommy. They will be heavily discussed, these new ships for Oceania, because they're going to go a little bigger. Oh, maybe not. Hold on. Nope, they're going to be... Oh, I think they are. They're going to go slightly larger. Slightly larger. And there are many concerned about that. You know, they're never going to be our ships again. Those are 640 guests. There is a profit in larger ships. That's just the way it is. That's why Seabourn and Silver Sea went from 280 guests to 580, 600 guests. There's more money to be made there. I've talked about this. There are fixed costs in the cruise industry. The captain, whether he's the captain for 200 people or 600 people, he costs the same. He's not getting paid per soul on board. He's getting paid a flat rate, general manager flat rate, so many things, entertainment flat rate. And whether you have 100 guests or 10,000 guests, the singers, dancers are getting the same money. So there's money to be made, not to mention the TV rights and sports rights, all those kind of things. So everybody's creeping up. The new NCL ships will be 5,000 passengers from what are there now at 38, I think, or 37, 38. They'll go to 200,000 tons. This is it. Yep. Oceania is scheduled to take delivery of 286,000 gross ton vessels, I believe Marina Riviera Vista are 57, 58, with a capacity for 1,400 passengers. Right now they went to 1,200. I believe Vista is 1,200. You call me a liar. It's somewhere in there. It will be discussed, this growth. It's the way it's going in the business. Regent will also get 2 new ships with a capacity for 850 passengers. Well, they're calling them passengers. Interesting. It's very interesting. But again, someone wrote this article, doesn't understand, as I've talked about many times. We no longer call passengers. We call them fresh meat. No, we call them guests. That is the rule now. Everybody's a guest on board. No one's a passenger anymore. It's whatever. Marketing rigmarole. Delivery of the second Oceania ship is contractually set for the fourth quarter of 2028. But maybe delayed to 2029. Basically, you know, they wrote up an order for 8 ships, and you know, we're going to get to it when we get to it. We're going to finance it when we finance it. I received an email with the link. This is where I talk about...
Man's got to know his limitations.
A link to the prospectus, the SEC filing. Hey, my eyes glassed over. They're spinning. They're flipping in the back of my head. These people are so smart. I mean, and I told you one time that I was told by somebody that I trust that Harry Summer is supposed to be one of the smartest guys in this business. Whether that's smart when it comes to actually operating them or buying them and building them, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But he's not a dummy. Let's put it that way. And when I read these numbers, and this guy Mark, who's the CEO, this is way above my pay grade. But I can make this statement. I know it will be discussed by Oceania guests, the size. I happen to be wired in to the community after 16 years with the company. I'm not bragging, but many of the longtime guests, it is something of interest to them because they, you know, it's not they're in love with the 640 guests, but 1,400. So we'll see what happens. But listen, hey, you know what that means, right? It means they're doing well, or someone wants to give them money, one or the other. Also, they confirmed they're going to build 2 more berths at Great Stirrup Cay. Careful, Tommy. Well, this is Norwegian Cruise Line anyway. I can say that and stay on brand. One of the great great points of a Caribbean cruise on Oceania when we go to Great Stirrup Cay is usually we're the only ship there. And that ship is built to take guests, ships that carry 4,000 people. So there are 4,000 lawn chairs, chase lounges, and we're the only people there. It is truly a private island. 640 guests just wandering. Even the 1,200 passenger ships wandering around. Now they're going to add two more berths. Why would you add two berths? Because you're going to put two ships in there. And what does that mean? It means maybe it's not so private anymore.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Anyway, well, it's time to take a look. I've talked about this. Did I mention this already? Torstein Hagen, the big boss over there at Viking, decided to take it public because either they needed the money, and that was the only way to do it, or they decided, you know, we're going to cash in. And so when you do that, you file with the SEC, and that becomes public. And that F1 prospectus came out, and according to this, in 2023, Viking lost $1.86 billion. I'm reading this. Again, a man has to know his limitations. According to the article, according to the F1 prospectus, they lost $1.8 billion in 2023 on improving revenues of $4.7 billion. That just cannot be right. You cannot tell me you took in $5 billion and you lost almost $2. But that's what I mean. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You can look it up. It's interesting reading, though. And I don't understand EBITDA, any of that stuff. I like this, though. They carried, in 2023, across nine ocean ships, two expedition vessels, and 92 altogether, because they have a lot of river boats. And they have the nine ocean going, and they have two expedition vessels. And they carried in, according to the F1 prospectus, that's all I can tell you, they carried 650,000 guests. NCL carried 2.7 million. Royal Caribbean carried 6 million. That doesn't seem like a lot. And also their occupancy was at 93.7%, which was up from 78% in 2022. But wait, that's all smoke and mirrors, too, because you can fill the ships, but you're not making any money. But what have I said in the past about Torstein Hagen? He's one of a kind. He's the old school swashbuckler. He's arrogant. There's no other way to describe him. But he talks about, in the prospectus, he states, Viking has always done things differently from others in the travel industry, and went on to attribute the company's success to this. I'm very nervous to say about this loss. I think the article is incorrect. Can you lose $1.8 billion when you only took in $4.7 billion? Wow. Anyway, according to Torstein Hagen, we maintain a clear focus on our most relevant customer group, English-speaking travelers age 55 years and over. What have I been saying? Why do cruise lines try to appeal to everybody? You die. You can't. I know one particular cruise line that's focusing on the French market. Why? Why would you do that? Anyway, they want English-speaking travelers from North America who have the time, money, and desire to explore the world. Let's be honest. Viking riverboats are expensive as hell. In fact, he puts down the average amount from total revenue per passenger was $7,251. So they're not giving it away, not one bit. And according to Torstein Hagen, this is what he wrote. We do not try to be all things to all people, which is why we only offer, are you ready, a single language experience on board our ships. There are no casinos, and children under 18 are not allowed. He also decided a well-defined and consistent product with signature Scandinavian design IKEA, and the ability to deliver a superior product at competitive prices. Now, all of the feedback from Viking I've received has always been this. The ships are very dull because they're very Scandinavian. They're IKEA. The food is good. It's not great. You're not going to go crazy. They enjoyed themselves. There's not a lot of entertainment. You know, Thorstein Hagen is one of those people who didn't feel on his ocean-going ships there should be entertainment. Why? What? Well, bring a guy on to play a mandolin. That's enough. Well, he got spanked, and now they do have guest entertainers, and they do have shows. Their guest entertainers are booked by one particular agency because they farmed it out. Rather than pay an entertainment buyer, they have an agent putting the acts on, so I would never be on Virgin. Because I don't, Virgin, I would never be on Viking, got my V's mixed up, because I don't work with that particular agent. I'm not losing any sleep over it. Anyway, according to Thorstein Hagen, they rely on direct marketing to drive the majority of bookings. Interesting, because, you know, the former boss of NCL, Frank Del Rio, the Capo de Capo, he loved brochures, and the new young bloods kept saying to him, I heard through people, you know, no, we have to be social media. We have to be here. And he goes, you know what? This cruise line was built on brochures. Shut up. Leave me alone. And they're big on direct marketing. Plus, you all know the story. If you don't know the story, no one was interested in giving in money for Downton Abbey, the public television thing from England. And Viking took a flyer. And they were the sponsors of Downton Abbey. And it became a monster hit. And every time you saw Downton Abbey, it's brought to you by a grant from Viking. And that became a big part of their program. Then they also got involved in backing operas. Why not? That's the market. That's the demographic. Smart guy. And it goes on and on and on. But interesting information. You can find the F1, I'm sure, anywhere. Just Google it. And you can go on. And the principal shareholder of the company is Viking Capital, and that's him. It's wholly owned by a trust where Thorstein Hagen is the sole beneficiary during his lifetime. That's all his. And there's a few people in there. You know, there's always a pension plan or two, one from Canada. There's usually a school pension that gets involved, too. There you go. I'm way over time today, I think. Oh, I got one more to go, I guess. Hold on. Do I have some music?
Tradition!
Hello, Sandy.
Tradition.
You know what that's about, right? I love when somebody maintains the tradition of the cruise industry. So congratulations to Princess Cruise Lines and the new Sun Princess, because you know why? They have a godmother. They have a godmother for the Sun Princess. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to christen the ship. They're going to christen the ship and have a godmother. They're not going to name the ship and not call the person a godmother or a godfather or a god whatever because they're worried about woke. And they're a California-based cruise line, and they're blowing woke up. And the person that, I wish I knew who this was. I'm sure you do. I have been told more than once that I look like the guy on Ted Lasso. I don't think the guy that plays Ted Lasso, somebody else. I've never seen Ted Lasso. It's a TV show, obviously. It's on Apple TV. I've never seen it. People love it. They love the guy that plays it. It was Jason, whatever his name is. But Hannah Waddingham will be the official godmother of the Sun Princess. And she's known for her role as Rebecca Welton on Ted Lasso. And she will christen the ship at the naming ceremony at the Port of Barcelona, April 23rd. So that's coming up. And according to Johnny Padgett, I love that guy, Mr. Technology, we're delighted to welcome the luminous and elegant Hannah Waddingham. I'm gathering she's English, by the name anyway. Hannah Waddingham to serve as the godmother for our sensational new Sun Princess, which, by the way, is absolutely sensational. The ship is out and running, but it hasn't been christened or named yet. The Sun Princess officially began its inaugural cruise February 28th and is now sailing a series of Mediterranean voyages before it goes to Fort Lauderdale. And I am lobbying to get booked on that maybe this October. I'd love to see it. Love to talk about it. I am the guru. But congratulations once again to Princess Cruise Lines for blowing up the woke. And they're going to christen the ship because it has the word in it. You know? And they're going to have a godmother. Really? we talk about God now? Can we do that? So good for them. And I have some stories that aren't making the cut today. It goes that way. It's interesting. Some days I go, what am I going to talk about? And then other days I think, well, I can beat up on Jimmy Kimmel. And then I find story on top of story and emails on top of emails and links. And I got so much to do. And for this money, podcast for pennies. That was a fast 30, huh? You still with me? Yeah. I probably lost the two when I went on. I lost one or two when I went on my soapbox. I love this country. And, you know, it has its problems. But we don't hang people for pot. We don't smack our wife on purpose. We allow freedom of religion. We can allow those idiots in Michigan to scream death to America. Good, better, and different. Greatest country in the world. I know the Canadians going, oh, really? We have Justin Trudeau. Is it Justin? Not Pierre, right? I don't know. I don't really know. Some young guy up there. Some young guy. You can reach me at thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out my webpage, quackcabins.com. Quackcabins.com. I look every morning. I haven't made the move. I haven't pulled the trigger. We're going to be in Charleston, South Carolina, and somewhere else in September. And I keep thinking I'm going to drive up and drive back and stop at the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia. So take a look. Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals. Even just take a look. Get a little action going on. They don't think I have anybody. They don't think anybody listens to this program. I got thousands, thousands, thousands every 3 years. All right. Have a good one. Should I do a mea culpa and say I won't get on my soapbox tomorrow? Please come back. Yeah, probably not. You know, you have to have fun doing this. You have to, you know, if you lose one or two, you lose one or two. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You do the best you can. We had a good show. A lot of material today. Woo! A lot of stuff you didn't know about. You didn't know about Thorstein Hagen and a billion, 1.8 billion? No way. Even I couldn't lose that much. Well, I could if I had it. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.